enormous battle at Matthew Knight Arena with this terrific fifth-ranked Arizona team taking on the Ducks. He'll be behind the mic with Jeff Dean calling the action on the Arizona IMG Radio Network. Considering his time as a play-by-play man, no one more synonymous with Wildcats sports. It's a pleasure to welcome in Brian Jeffries. Brian, much appreciate the time. How are things with you?
Gentlemen, couldn't be better. Great to be with you. I think, like everybody else, looking forward to a big one tomorrow. I guess they're all big, but I guess it's kind of neat, if you want to use that term, to have the two teams that were predicted to finish 1-2 in the conference here in Game 24 facing off against one another.
Now, I wouldn't be able to live myself if I ignored your career. So I'm thinking prior to the arrival of Lute Olson, the program, you know, was not really on the map. And now, of course, they're not allowed to hold the big dance without the Cats. So I want to kind of go back to March 31st, 1997, Indianapolis, Miles Simon, 30 points, Lute, and a player's program get that national title. What do you remember about that?
Well, you know, that was just, it was kind of an amazing run there through the tournament because Arizona finished fifth in the conference that year.
Right.
Lost their last two games of the regular season over in the Bay Area. And so they were, I don't want to say an afterthought, but there weren't a lot of high expectations going to the NCAA tournament that year. And then they ended up, they almost lost their first game to South Alabama. They were down with about 6 minutes to go and came back to win that ball game. Went on to beat three number one seeds, which hadn't been done before, including Kansas and North Carolina before facing Kentucky in the title game. And so, you know, they kind of caught magic in the bottle, as the old cliche goes. They had some good talent. They had an outstanding backcourt. You mentioned Miles Simon. Mike Bibby was the guard. And the other guard, and I think those two guys really kind of fueled that postseason run. So it was very special, certainly for Lute Olson. It was great to see him win a national championship. He's done so much for college basketball at his different stops, in particular Iowa and Arizona. It's just one of those that you never forget because it wasn't expected. There wasn't a lot of pressure there, but they played six outstanding basketball games and took home the trophy.
Yeah, Brian, before we get to this year's team, I have another kind of look back question too. So you've been doing play-by-play since 87. Before that, you were an analyst and studio host since 80. That's a lot of games, a lot of incredible players to come through. In all your years with the program, I mean, there's guys like Bibby and Simon, Damon Stoudemire, Kenny Lofton, Sean Elliott, Jason Terry, kind of a laundry list of legendary college players. Who is your favorite guy to cover? Maybe not the best player, but the guy you enjoyed watching most.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, there's so many. It would be hard to single out, you know, one. But I'll give you a couple of guys. Jason Terry, I think, who's still playing in the NBA just because of his personality, along with the fact that he was a darn good basketball player. Steve Kerr, who was a guy that really nobody recruited. In fact, Lute Olson was recruiting another player when he saw Steve play in high school, and it was Lute's late wife, Bobby, who kind of pointed out Steve Kerr and said, "Hey, how about the blonde kid?" And they ended up bringing him to Arizona, and obviously not only did he turn out to be one of the best players in Arizona history, one of the great shooters, but now has gone on to some big things in pro basketball. You know, I could go on from there, but
yeah,
I think
there's
those
a long
guys
list
that certainly come to mind.
We're talking with Arizona play-by-play man Brian Jeffries. Back in 2007, some unique circumstances when Lute left. There's Kevin O'Neill, Russ Pennell, then Sean Miller, who played at Pitt, did awesome work as the head coach at Xavier. In April of 2009, he got the gig, and you know, his second year, Arizona back in the Elite Eight. With massive expectations of a blue blood program, could you kind of harken back and talk about how well received the hiring of Sean Miller was?
Well, certainly he had a great reputation coming from Xavier and all that he had done there. And I think the first thing that Sean did, and probably one of the best steps that he made, was he embraced the history and tradition of the program. Sometimes when a new coach comes in to a school, it's their team, it's their program, and they kind of ignore what has happened there before. But Sean was totally opposite that. He knew exactly what Lute Olson had built. He immediately welcomed all the former players, the former coaches. He really wanted them to be part of the program going forward. And I think that endeared him immediately to the fans. And on top of that, as you mentioned, his second year, the success followed after a couple of years where people wondered, okay, what direction is the program going to take? And so as soon as he got things going like that, he became, I don't want to say the next coming of Lute Olson, but somebody that was quickly accepted by the fans, and they knew they had a quality coach and they wanted to keep him there.
To this season, I guess Alonzo Trier back in the mix from his PED suspension. I don't think I've ever seen a suspension like that in any sport. Had to sit until the drug was completely out of his system. That's just kind of odd. But he returns for the UCLA game with the team 17-2. Obviously, he's playing really well and is a really good player. But was there any fear that his return might kind of throw a wrench into the already really good thing the team had going? And now is there kind of a sense with him back and him playing well that – I don't know that it ever was off, but that a national title is kind of back on the menu for him?
Well, to answer the first part of your question, I think one reason that everyone felt that Alonzo was going to be able to fit in immediately was the fact that he had practiced every day with the team. Even though he couldn't play, he practiced, he was on the bench, he was able to travel starting with the, I believe it was the Gonzaga game over in Los Angeles, so he was able to be around the team every day. So, and the fact that, of course, he had played last year for the returning guys, it was easier to accept him, if you want to put it that way, easier for him to fit right back into the rotation. At the same time, when he hadn't played for 19 games and Sean Miller had a rotation, you have to take that into consideration. And I think that is still a work in progress. And that is, how does Alonzo's minutes and rotation and how they work their bench right now, how does that come into play? And that's still probably a couple of weeks away from solidifying itself. And at some point, Alonzo is going to be back in the starting lineup. Sean Miller has made that clear, because he's arguably Arizona's best player, certainly their best returning player. So it's still, like I said, a work in progress, but a guy of his talent, yes, it has raised the bar. The expectations have gone up. Arizona was a good team to begin with. It makes them better. And now it's a question of how all these pieces fit together here over the last month of the season.
You know, that really sort of mirrors what Oregon's been going through with Dylan Brooks as well. So it's kind of an interesting microcosm, the two teams facing each other going through the similar things. And it took Oregon a while to get through that as well. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Arizona and Trier, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of throw in what Arizona lost last year, plus the suspension. You had a big recruit, Ray Smith, tore an ACL. So that trio of freshmen, Markkanen up front, Simmons and Alkins in the backcourt, how remarkable have they been kind of keeping the U of O among the nation's elite?
Well, it was a forced learning curve, if you want to put it that way. They had to play a lot of minutes because of Trier being out. And then Parker Jackson Cartwright missed six games with a sprained ankle. And so there was no choice. The three had to play, and they've started most of the games. And I think because of that, in hindsight now, you see that all the minutes they played early in the season, it's now paying off. On top of that, they were pretty talented kids. Lowry Markkanen, at 7 feet tall with his skill set, is certainly one of the best freshmen in the country right now. And so all of that combined has probably made this team a little better than it would have been, crazy as it sounds, if Alonzo Trier had played earlier this season, or if Parker Jackson Cartwright had not been injured. This team may not be as good as it is right now. But thanks to that unfortunate circumstance, the three freshmen were forced to grow up a lot quicker, and they've come through. And you have to give the coaching staff a lot of credit. They have really done a great job with those guys in particular, making them, kind of the cornerstone of this team.
Kind of going along those lines, this Arizona program has been elite nationally for a very long time. They play Oregon as a top five team, the Ducks preseason pick to win the conference, top 15 themselves. Going into games like this, the UCLA game earlier, definitely, do you still get a sense that this team gets nervous? Like, is it possible for games to be too big for this program anymore, even when they're playing with that youth?
Well, I know that the coaches try and keep things on an even keel. They try not to make too much of a big game versus a game. And maybe last night was a good example. You go up to play Oregon State. They've lost nine in a row. They're in last place in the conference. But and yet you have to treat that game exactly the same way that you will treat tomorrow's game. And I think that's very important. Again, that's something that they've had to teach the freshmen, not to get caught up in the headlines or the hype of a certain game. They did a good job of that when they went to L.A. I mean, USC is a really good basketball team. And Arizona had to go in there and play on Thursday, and they beat them, and then were able to beat UCLA a couple days later. And I think one of the reasons they were successful on that trip is exactly what you just mentioned there. They didn't overlook USC. They tried to take each team and each game with the same level of preparation and however you want to put it going into the game, the ingredients that they need to go out and play their best. At the same time, guys, let's face it. I mean, tomorrow is a huge game, and I think you're going to get the best shot from both teams.
Final thought for the voice of the Wildcats, Brian Jeffries. I always like to get the read on Oregon from the other side. I mean, you obviously know this program up close and personal for decades. They've gone from obscurity to relevance, and now this run of success is unprecedented under Dana Altman. From what the players are saying, what the staff is saying, to what you've observed, kind of what's the buzz about this Duck team Arizona faces tomorrow?
Well, we knew going into the season, and I think it was pretty obvious, Oregon's defending champion, and they had enough talent coming back that they deserved to be picked to win it, and are still, based on everything being equal, I think that they're still the favorite to win it. Tomorrow is going to have something to do with that. It won't decide everything, but it's going to give one team that tiebreaker. I'll go back to the coaching, and I was talking to Sean Miller earlier today. He and Dana Altman have known each other for quite a while. When Sean was at Xavier and Dana was at Creighton, they played one another.
Oh, yeah.
There's great respect. In fact, Sean says of all the coaches in the Pac-12, he is probably closest in terms of just being on good terms, I guess, friendly terms with Dana Altman. And so the fact that those two guys have so much respect for one another, I think that's one. And that tells me why Oregon has come as far as it has, because of the quality of coaching. And so that's the Arizona staff realizes that. I think the players certainly have plenty of respect for the Ducks. Remember, Oregon snapped Arizona's 49-game win streak at McHale Center last year. And so the players know what they're up against. The Arizona players know what they're up against tomorrow. And hopefully it's going to be as good as advertised.
He is the proverbial triple threat, calling zone of baseball, football, basketball. Kind enough to spend some time with us, one of the best in the business. Thank you so much for checking in, Brian. Enjoy your time here in the Valley and travel safe back home.
Thanks, Brian.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy.